हरि जाताय पुत्रवेत्रैकपाणय ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृत दुहे नमः। हरे कृष्णा। वेलकम बैक टू द भगवद्गीता भक्तिशास्त्री कोर्स। नाउ वी आर एट द लास्ट पार्ट ऑफ द 11th चैप्टर। द 11th चैप्टर इज कॉल्ड एज द विराट रूप, द विश्व रूप रादर। सो द विश्व रूप इज द डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ the universal form, the revelation of Krishna, and in that we have discussed till now several sections. Currently we are at verse 51, which is part of the last section. So let's have an overview of the various sections before we continue from verse 51. So verses 1 to 4 are Arjuna's request to see Krishna's universal form. Verses 5 to 8 are Krishna's descriptions of the universal form. Krishna is giving a preview of what is going to come. Then verses 9 to 14 are Sanjaya's description of the universal form. Therein, Sanjaya is from a distant perspective. The camera goes backwards and he describes what is happening over there, what Arjuna is seeing. 15 to 31 is Arjuna's description of the vision. Then it has several divisions, four divisions precisely. We discuss Arjuna's vision of the universal form, what he saw. Then he saw Arjuna's vision of what is the effect of the universal form on the universe. Then Arjuna's beholding of the Kala Rupa, the vision as manifested in the battlefield. And then the effect of that on Arjuna, and concluding with his prayer, who are you? Akhya himeko bhavan ugra rupo. Then after that, 32 to 34, is Krishna as the Vishwarupa telling Arjuna that become my instrument. And then after that there are Arjuna's prayers 35 to 46. So those prayers also we discussed had four parts. Because first he offers, he glorifies, then he offers obeisances, then he seeks forgiveness, and then he requests for the beholding of the four-handed Chaturbhuja, and then that's return to the Saumya Rupa. Now, in the 50th verse, Krishna has obliged Arjuna's request by beholding the Vishwarupa. From the Vishwarupa, he came to the Chaturbhuja Rupa, and from the Chaturbhuja Rupa, he came to the Dvibhuja Rupa. So, like that, the vision is gone now. And now, Arjuna is going to reply to what Krishna has just done for him. So, let's look at the verses. Arjuna Vacha दृष्ट्वेदं मानुषं रूपं तव सौम्यं जनार्दन इदानीमस्मि संवृत्तः सचेता प्रकृतिं गतः। सो दृष्ट्वेदं, दृष्ट्वा इदं, आई एम सीइंग मानुषं रूपं, द ह्यूमन फॉर्म, तव सौम्यं जनार्दन, तव ऑफ योर्स सौम्यं। Soumya is gentle, Arjuna is beautiful. Soumya can mean soft, gentle, soothing. Janardana, as we had discussed earlier, the word Janardana can mean chastiser of the enemies, or it can also mean protector of people in general. Idani masmi samrittaha, idani means now. I am samrittaha, settled, calmly settled. Sachetaha prakritim gataha, I have returned to my own nature, my consciousness. Sachetaha prakritim gataha. Prakriti means nature. So, we see that Arjuna has a steady relationship with Krishna. That is a relationship of friendship. At the external level, it may appear that Arjuna is a Kshatriya, Krishna is a Kshatriya, and these are two Kshatriya friends. But that is only an external vision. At a deeper internal vision, both of them are transcendental. Krishna is the Supreme Lord and Arjuna is a devotee. And so, prakritim gataha. So from external point of view, prakriti gata means, okay, two Kshatriyas are now returning to their original friendship. But from an internal perspective, it is that the Lord and his devotee are returning to their intimate relationship. So that prakriti is not material prakriti. The word prakriti generally we use in terms of material prakriti, but that is not its only use. The word prakriti basically means nature or energy. As nature or energy, the important point is that there is material nature or material energy and spiritual nature or spiritual energy. So both exist and both are playing a role as per the Lord's will. So the word Prakriti used in a spiritual context we see in Daivim Prakritim Ashritaha. Mahatmanastumam Partha Daivim Prakritim Ashritaha Vajantyananyamanaso Gyatva Bhutadim Avyayam. So in 9.13 Krishna uses this word. So as Prakriti he uses Daivi as divine. So Sacheta Prakritim Gataha. So the Arjuna has returned back to the normal situation. So actually, you know, in this world also, when we face very troublesome situations, suddenly in this material world, something extremely bewildering happens. We may lose a loved one, or there may be a terrible accident in which we get immobilized temporarily, or we may have a huge financial loss, or there might be a big earthquake or a tsunami or some other hurricane or natural disaster. And then that is, in one sense, we are seeing the Kala Roop of Krishna. And even a devotee can get bewildered when the devotee sees the Kala Roop of Krishna. In the sense that it's not that a devotee is heartless. And when we say we should be spiritual, that doesn't mean that we'll normally be dead to all material emotions. We don't want to get carried away with material emotions, but we shouldn't just distinguish all emotions between material and spiritual. Yes, that is one level of difference, but there is also something called as human response. So we shouldn't dismiss everything at the human level as material, because we are currently existing at three levels: physical, mental and spiritual. And in this physical and mental are material, and they do affect us. So we see Arjuna also grieved bitterly when Abhimanyu was killed. Was it that Arjuna forgot the philosophy? No, it's not that Arjuna forgot the philosophy, but there are natural emotions of affection between the father and the son, and the father will naturally grieve. So the point here is that even a devotee may get overwhelmed. So Arjuna is mathamacha vimudhabhavo. No, Krishna is reassuring Arjuna that mate gatha, don't be troubled, vimudhabhavo, don't be bewildered. So Arjuna was feeling like that. You know, atitantaratma, he has said in his prayer that antaratma, my inner being is completely vatit. So like that it can happen to devotees also, that when material nature shows its ugly feature, it shows the Kala Rupa. So at that time a devotee can also be devastated. And then devotee can also lose perspective. And devotee can become overwhelmed. So at that time, this is Arjuna, Akhya Himeko Bhavanugra Rupa. My dear Lord, what is this? What kind of form is this? Now we hear about Kala Rupa conceptually, and it is good to know about the concepts, but along with that, we also need to know that this is not just a conceptual description. Along with that, it also is meant to instruct us. So the unfortunate things that happen in this world, actually they are the Kala Rupa of Krishna. Now, in one sense, Kala, Kalosmi Loka Kshayakrut Pravruddho, time I am the destroyer of all the worlds. So whatever destruction happens and whatever destabilization it brings, it's not just that only the destruction at the Kurukshetra war was due to the Kala Rupa. No, all destruction is by the Kala Rupa. So we understand this is also Kala Rupa. This is not a pleasant form, this is an agitating form. And as Arjuna, first in bewilderment, what is this, my dear Lord? And the Lord responded, and then he offered obeisances. And then he said, my dear Lord, please show me the Saumya Rupa. So like that, and a devotee gets bewildered. You know, one definition of intelligence, as we have discussed, is to, intelligence means to know what to do when we don't know what to do. That means that, to know what to do when we don't know what to do, that means there is a specific what to do. Okay, this problem has come. How do I solve this? I don't know. We don't know what to do. But there is a generic what to do. What is that? Pray to Krishna for guidance. Beg to Krishna, Krishna, please keep me engaged in your service and please guide me how I can serve you now. So when we do that, then what happens by that is we keep moving forward. So Krishna, dadami buddhi yogam tam, Yenamamupayanti, the Krishna gives intelligence of how we can move ahead. It may not be that the intelligence will come immediately, but it will surely come. And it will help us to move on in our spiritual life. So, sachetah prakritim gataha. And then when Krishna gives the intelligence, then we will see that, okay, there is this Kala Rupa is there. But along with the Kala Rupa, there is something wonderful also which is happening. What is that something wonderful? Actually, it's not that a devotee is having the head in the sky and devotee thinks that the tragedies of this world are wonderful. No. As devotees, we would like, you know, devotees don't want anyone to suffer. And tragedies bring tremendous suffering. But still, devotees also understand that ultimately it is Krishna who is the caretaker of all living beings. And Krishna has some plan. And a devotee turns the eyes from the destructive form of material nature, which is Kala Rupa Krishna, of Krishna manifesting, to the Saumya Rupa. So we look at Kala Rupa, then we turn to Saumya Rupa. You know, this is sometimes called as tough love. This is the Kala Rupa of this world is Krishna's tough love. Tough love means that sometimes love has to be tough. If a child is not studying, or a child is doing mischief, or a child is playing with fire, at that time the mother may have to be tough in her love. There is love, but there is toughness also. So the Kala Rupa is the tough part. But the Gita wisdom helps us to move from to connect the tough part with the love part. I understand actually that yes. Ultimately we discuss what is the Kala Rupa. Kala Rupa destroys the temporary to make way for the eternal. Destroys the temporary to make way for the eternal. That means when we see the destructiveness and the destruction of material nature. Destruction means first we see that something is just destroyed. And then by that we understand that everything, it sinks deeper into us that everything here is destructible. So when we see the destruction, it reminds us of the destructibility of everything. It reminds in a very forceful way. And then that inspires us, motivates us, impels us to redirect our affection, our attraction from the temporary to the eternal, from the world to Krishna. And in that way, our vision shifts from the Kala Rupa to the Saumya Rupa. And then in this way, when a devotee takes shelter of Krishna, at that time, Sacheta Prakritim Gataha. Sachetaha prakritim gataha. Devotee will become restored to the normal situation of, yes, Krishna is my master, I am a servant, and let me keep serving him forever. That is what we would like to do. Sachetaha prakritim gataha. See, generally, in this world, when things get disturb us, how can things disturb us? When there is change in the external world, that change naturally disturbs us. Now, when the change disturbs us, our normal expectation is that Krishna should set the external thing right. And that's what we pray to Krishna for. But ultimately, the external is not the shelter for us. The shelter is the internal. It is our connection with Krishna that is the shelter. To the extent that the externals disturb us, to that extent, it indicates that our internal is not sheltered in Krishna. Means, if my internal shelter is in my bank account and suddenly, you know, the Indian rupee devalues or there is a economic slowdown and then I realize my money is not of much value or the stock market crash and I lose money, I'll feel tremendously agitated. So that agitation, when I pray to Krishna, Krishna, please set this right. Please let this economy come back on track, or even if the economy doesn't come back on track, at least let my shares get out of the money so that I'll have the money. I want to serve you, but I need money for that also. So now here what is happening? The externals have changed, and through the external change, Krishna is teaching us. Let's see, you are getting so disturbed, that indicates that your internal shelter is not in me. Your internal shelter in something other than me. And that is an important learning lesson for a learning opportunity for a devotee. Oh, that means what Krishna is demonstrating through me and what is getting confirmed by my agitation over this issue is that I am not sheltered in Krishna. So let me take shelter of Krishna. Let me move my inner shelter from money to Krishna. If I have some respectable position, even in devotee circles, and suddenly my position is challenged. Then what happens when my position is challenged? At that time, I start feeling that, oh, you know, I have this position. I may be a counselor. And then I start feeling, oh, wow, what is this? You know, people are not respecting me as a counselor. My counselor is saying that I'm not caring enough. I'm not competent enough. I'm not advanced enough. There's that. And because of that, I feel my position challenged. Now, I may get disturbed by that. Now, the disturbance indicates that my shelter is not in service to Krishna, but my shelter is in the prestige that I am getting as a counselor. So what should we do in such a situation? Now we may say, no, but we need the externals also to be right to serve Krishna. We need some financial stability by which we can serve Krishna. If I have to serve as a counselor, if somebody is just going around doing character assassination on me, then how can I serve Krishna? That may be true. But we have to see things first and foremost at the internal level. So let me get my shelter within. And when we do that, look, there are external changes which are meant primarily to help us make internal changes. And when Krishna sees us making internal changes, then Krishna can make the external changes far more easily and effectively than what we can do by all our plans and endeavors. So that means a devotee should be able to move inwards and make internal changes. And not that that means we are passive externally, not that we accept everything that happens externally passively, but that we don't just act only at the external level. Okay, what inner change, what improvement can I try to make? Now we may say changing our shelter from some material attachment to Krishna is not easy. Yes, that is true, and it's not going to happen overnight. Definitely, that's true, but it's never going to happen, leave alone happening overnight, if we don't try for it. So these sort of situations when we are shaken up, vititantaratma, our inner being is completely troubled, that time this is the opportunity for us to align our inner compass towards Krishna. It has often gone a little off track. Yes, I want Krishna also, but along with that, I want many other things also. So we get the inner compass back, straight focused on Krishna. And then when we do that, then sucheta prakritim gataha, then we return back to the inner position of calmness, of poise, of happiness. So as we normally have in our relationship with Krishna. So now Krishna will speak after this. Now, before we move forward, here let's look at one more point. Krishna is saying, Arjuna is saying over here, Manusham Rupam. What does this word Manusham Rupam indicate? That Prabhupada's whole commentary is focused on this, that the Lord's original form is Manusham. Manusham is it mean mortal? No, it means human. Human means the Lord originally has a two-handed form, a form just like that, that is just like yours and mine. Or rather, you know, sometimes people say that is our form. Why should God have a form like ours? So it's not that God has a form like ours, it is that we have a form like God's. There are two different conceptions. There is anthropomorphism and there is theomorphism. Anthropomorphism means morphize form, like we have morphology, the study of structures, study of shapes in biology, morphology. And then there is anthropomorphism, means that the idea that we have ascribed God a human form because we are human beings, so we have envisioned God in the human form. This is actually, it is very self-centered analysis, because we are taking ourselves to be the reference point, the starting point. But the fact is that the scriptures describe that God has a form, and God's original form is reflected in our form. So man is made in the image of God. Even the Bible says that. And Krishna says also in 15.7, as we'll see, he says that Mumai Vamsho Jivaloke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha Amsha. Amsha means sparks. So we are all sparks of Krishna. So Manusham Rupam. So this form of Krishna is originally the two-handed form. And that is not a mortal, material form. That is a transcendental, eternal form. And that form is what Arjuna is seeing now. Rishtvedam manusham rupam tava saumyam saumya. It's very affectionate. It's very easy. It's much more easier to develop an affectionate relationship with the form of Krishna as a two-handed person than as a kala rupa. You know, what do you do as Arjuna when you have to offer away or to speak of, say, embracing or expressing love or talking? Even offering obeisances is difficult because Arjuna says, where should I offer obeisances? You know, ata pushtataste namo namaste to sahasra kutva nama purustad ata pushtataste kutaste namo stute sarvata eva sarva. He says, I offer sahasra kutva, I offer obeisances again and again. Nama purustad ata pushtataste, I offer obeisances ahead and behind and again I offer obeisances. So, you know, even offering obeisances is difficult. What to speak of? Doing other things. So, therefore, what is important here is Sacheta Prakritim Gataha, that this Manusham Rupam is the original form. And relating with the original form is the original nature of the living entity. And when we understand this, then we will return to the original nature. If we think of going to some other relationship, are going to a relationship with some other form, that is other manifestation, that is the impersonal manifestation, then we won't get back to such a itya prakritim gata. That will lead to klesho dhiktarastesha. That will lead to misery and frustration, as is discussed in the 12th chapter. So now Krishna will start speaking. Let us look at it. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Sudurdarshamidam Rupam Drishtavanasi Yanmama Devapyasya Rupasya Nityam Darshana Kangshinaha. So Sudurdarsham Idam Rupam. Idam Rupam, this form, what is the nature of that form? Sudurdarsham. It is extremely difficult to see. Sudurdarsham Idam Rupam. And what kind of Drishtavanasi Yanmama? As you are seeing me, it's extremely rare to see Deva Pyasya Rupasya. Even the gods are Nityam Darshana Kangshinaha. They are constantly aspiring to see this form. Nityam Darshana Kangshinaha. So what happens? Sudurdarsham Idam Rupam. What is he telling over here? That this is very, very difficult to see. Now we see in the 10th canto that before Krishna was to appear, at that time when he was in the womb, the devatas came and started offering prayers. And all the devatas are offering prayers because they are all recognizing that Krishna is the eternal transcendent Lord. They know that Vishnu is the person to whom they pray, and now Vishnu has said that I will appear, and then here according to that prophecy here the Lord has appeared. But when Krishna appears, even they are surprised. That's how Brahma gets bewildered, that's how Indra gets bewildered. How does that happen? Because even they have not seen this form. You know, generally the devatas, so this is the below is the lower planetary system, in the middle is the earthly, and then above is heavenly. And then above that is the Kshirasagar, where there is Vishnu residing, and then beyond that is the spiritual world. So normally the devatas go to the Kshirasagar, and there they don't even see Vishnu. They just pray to Vishnu, and then Vishnu responds generally by giving a message in the heart of Brahma. So the devatas don't get to see Vishnu also regularly, although Vishnu of course comes sometimes. Sometimes means whenever Vishnu is to perform some assist the devatas, so Vishnu may come and attack, fight on behalf of the devatas. But generally Vishnu also is not seen. Seeing Vishnu is still, it happens. But seeing Krishna is very rare. And that's why I say, Devapyasya Rupasya Asya Rupasya. This form, Devas also, Nityam Darshana Kangshinaha. They are constantly desiring to see it. Now, Prabhupada basically explains the purport that it is only by opening of spiritual eyes that we can see the Lord. It is not by any ordinary means. Now Krishna will go on by describing this. So now 52nd verse, he has said that this is very difficult to see. Even devatas are hankering to see it. Now in 53rd verse, he will describe what all are the ways by which one cannot see him. When we say it's something very difficult to achieve, then we will say, no, okay. Suppose you want to say that if you want to go to Badrinath, it is very difficult to go there. Then we may say, oh, actually you cannot go there by plane. Then you can say you cannot go there by train. You can say you cannot go there by car. You cannot go there by boat also. And how do you go? He says, you will have to walk all the way to the top. Oh, really? That I understand. So normally, when you want to say something is difficult, we will give a, can't go do this, you can't go this way, you can't go this way, you can't go this way, you can't go this way. So like that, when Krishna says it's very difficult to know him, first in 53rd verse, he tells what all are the ways by which we cannot go there. Now of course some parts of Badrinath may be accessible now, but there are some parts of Badrinath very remote and then we just have to walk up there only. So the point is, this is an example which is meant to illustrate a particular point. So now Krishna will describe what are the ways in which one cannot know him. So 11.53. Naham vedairna tapasa nadanena chejaya chakya evam vidho drishtum drishtavanasi mam yatha. So naham vedairna tapasa naham vedair, not by study of the Vedas, not by tapasya, nadanena, not by giving charity, na chejaya, not by worship, by none of these can I be known. But then how can I be known? So, not by study of the Vedas. These four ways, you say, not by known. And what happens exactly? What cannot be done, that has not been told over here. How we can be known, we'll be told in the next verse. Shakya evam, is it possible? Evam vidho drashtum. Evam vidho means like now, like you are seeing me now. Drashtavana simam yatha, as you are seeing me now. So now it's very significant that the impersonalists want to say that actually there is some higher reality beyond Krishna, and that's what we have to go to. But Krishna is very clearly saying, "Mam yatha," seeing me is rare. The impersonalists say, oh, actually when you are less intelligent, you can think of a form. And then when you become more intelligent, then you go beyond the form. But then Krishna is telling, actually seeing this form itself is rare. It is not that he's saying that, okay, this seeing this form is for common people, and going beyond the form is rare. No, he doesn't say that. It is so rare by this normal Vedic process of elevation, one cannot get to see it. So Vedic process of elevation generally give punya and take one to swarga, but they cannot take one beyond. So these are the four things. Naham vedair. Vedair means the study of the Vedas. So the recitation of the Vedas, the memorization of the Vedas. Naham vedair na tapasa. Somebody may do a lot of austerities, you know, by willpower. We know the pastime of the milk drinking brahmachari in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just taking only milk. But what happened was that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you cannot just obtain the Supreme Lord by austerity, or just by drinking milk, by doing any austerity like that. He says, you require pure devotion for that. So, na tapasa, naham vedai na tapasa. Oh, vedai, we see the example that there are many examples of people who are Vedic Pandits. We have the example of Keshav Kashmir in Chaitanya Charitamrita, very learned in the Vedas, but still he did not understand what the ultimate goal of life is. Naham vedaina tapasana danena chayjayana danena. So danena refers to those who give charity. Now the point, giving charity is good, but that doesn't necessarily prove anything. That doesn't necessarily prove that this charity is necessarily transcendental. No, charity is in goodness, but we cannot know the Supreme Lord by goodness. Now, Harishchandra is a famous king in the Vedic culture who is glorified for his truthfulness, but that doesn't make him automatically transcendental or spiritual. So, people may give a lot of charity, but by charity alone, one cannot know the Lord. So, when ijaya, ijaya means worship. So now the word ijaya can refer to deity worship. But now in this context, in the Vedic context, ijaya refers to fire sacrifices by worship. So actually when the sacred fire comes, when the Brahmins are chanting mantras and they are offering ahuti, then that is ijaya. They are doing worship of Vishnu, who is manifesting his mouth through Agni. So Agnidev is manifesting and Agnidev is accepting the sacrifices, and those sacrifices are going to all the devatas through him. such a ajaya. So even that, by that, we cannot know. And that we see in the pastime of the yagic brahmanas. Their wives, they were able to see. Their wives were able to see what? That their wives were able to see that they this is the Supreme Lord and we should go to him. And in fact, they did not even think so much that he is the Supreme Lord. Oh, it's Krishna, he is the Lord of our heart, let us go to him. But when they saw this and their husbands, they thought, you know, we are performing this big sacrifice. What are these children doing over here? Get out of the way. They did, actually, they didn't even say get out of the way. Just neglected him completely. It is quite impersonal and quite dehumanizing to neglect a person like that. So, drishtavanasi mam yatha. So, how can you cannot know me by any of these means. So, actually, when Krishna says, drishtavanasi mam yatha, you can't see me. So, seeing is not just literally seeing. In the pastime of Mukunda, you know, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is a long pastime, most of you will probably be knowing it, that he was having some association with Mayavadi, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got very angry because of that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you will not be able to see me for 10 million lifetimes. And he started dying. First, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, take him out of my association, never bring him back. And then they said, you will not be able to see me for 10 million lifetimes. And he started dancing. And in just 10 million lifetimes, I will be able to see him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased by his positive attitude, by his faithfulness, by his humility, by his devotion. And he called him back. And then he offers prayers. And then he says, my dear Lord, actually you have allowed me to see you. That is a great fortune. But then even the demons saw you. And seeing you is actually not really seeing you. You know, because real seeing you happens with devotion. Demons like Shishupal, Dantavakra, Kamsa, Charasandha, they all saw you. But what did they want to do? They saw your all attractive supreme form, which is the shelter of all living beings, which even Brahma and Shiva and Lakshmi adore. And what did they want to do? They wanted to shoot arrows and kill that form. So what is the use of seeing in this way? He says, my dear Lord, the real seeing of you is seeing with devotion. And that seeing with devotion can happen only when there is devotion. So please grant me devotion. You have given me your darshan, I am grateful for that. But please grant me your devotion also. Then I will be able to truly see you. So here he is praying that please. So when he is saying drishtvanasi mamyatha. So when one does all these activities, they are good. Ijaya and then Veda, Tapa Veda, Tapasa, Danena. These are good, they are virtuous activities in Vedic culture. But they alone don't lead to the vision of the Lord. So what is required for that vision? That will be described. They don't lead to vision means one may even get to see the Lord, but one will not be able to understand the significance of the darshan of the Lord. And that's why it is almost as if one has not seen the Lord only. So to see the Lord means to actually see with understanding. And how that happens? That will be described in the next verse. Bhaktyatvananyaya shakya ahamevam vidho arjuna jnatum drashtum cha tatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. So bhaktyatvananyaya shakya. Bhaktya, by devotional service, ananyaya shakya. Ananya means anya is different or other. Ananya means there is nobody else. It means undistracted. It is unmixed by any other thing. Not mixed by fruitive activity, not mixed by speculative knowledge. It is ananya. It's not directed towards anything else or anyone else. And it does not contain anything else. Bhaktyatvananyaya shakya aham evam vidho arjuna. Aham evam vidho arjuna. You will know me as I am. Evam vidho means right now as you are knowing me, that way I can be known. And jnatum drashtum cha tatvena. Jnatum drashtum. By jnatum means by knowing in this way, drashtum, seeing me, tatvena. Tatvena means in truth, tatvena. And then praveshtum cha parantapa. Praveshtum, you will enter. Now where will you enter? Now sometimes as soon as we hear the word enter, we may think, what is happening? Entry is referring to Brahman Jyoti, that we have to enter into the Brahman Jyoti. No, Krishna doesn't use any impersonal aspect over here, impersonal reference over here. All that he is saying is, you will enter. So what will you enter into? You will enter into the Tattva. Jnatum drashtum cha tattvena praveshtum. So you will enter into the truth of my understanding, Prabhupada writes, as he translates it, that you will enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So Krishna is not saying that there is some other truth that is higher than me and I am here and that truth is there and you will go beyond me to that. There is no such reference to anything beyond him. All that is being said is that by bhakti, one will understand, you will be able to see me. Bhaktya tvananya shakya. Aham evam vidho Arjuna. As I am now, aham evam vidho Arjuna. Gyantum drashtum. One will know and one will be able to see. And then, praveshtum cha parantapa. Praveshtum. Will enter in. And in this way, we'll be able to move forward. So, in our spiritual life. So, what does this mean? Look, God is known by a particular process. And we cannot use any other process to know Him. So actually, the important point to recognize here is that the Lord is compassionate and He wants to reveal Himself. At the same time, the Lord has a relationship of love with all living beings. And it is on the basis of that love that the reality of the spiritual world is sustained. And it is on the basis of that love that all reciprocations and revelations and relationships happen. So Krishna wants us to come with that platform of love. So if you see that, you know, there is a body, we have body, we have mind, we have intelligence, we have ego, and we are ourselves the soul. So the soul is the seat of emotions. The soul is the actually what we use as when we use the word heart, that is actually referring to the soul. So that soul has a natural relationship with Krishna. So none of the other parts actually activate the soul. They activate other parts of the body, other parts of our current being. For example, karma is primarily on the physical level. Jnana is on the intellectual level. Yoga is on the mental level. So here, Vedair, Tapasa, Dane, Chaijaya, like these are mostly physical activities. In Vedair, I am speaking with my mouth. Tapasa, I am doing a studies for the body. Dane, no. I am doing charity, I am using money, which is external to me. And Ijjaya, I am using some material paraphernalia, ghee and grains for worship. So, where is my heart getting invested over here? No, it is not. But in here Krishna says, Ananyaya, that means nothing else, just purely the heart. That doesn't mean that the body and the mind and the intelligence are not used, but one is not distracted by them to other things. So, when purely our heart is offered, then Krishna accepts that. And then Krishna reciprocates and reveals Himself. So essentially, bhaktya tvananyaya shakya, by that Krishna is just telling us the natural reality of how we can relate with Him. I say, if I am going by a train, now I and the conductor asks, please show me your ticket. He says, do you know that I have got a degree from IIT, I was a gold medalist. Okay, that's good. But show me your ticket right now. Do you know that I went to America and I got a degree from MIT? Yes, that is good. But show me your ticket. He says, don't you know that I have been recognized for the... I was a teacher and I got the best teacher's award. That is good. But show me your ticket. And when we are taking a particular path, then a particular qualification is required for that. So all the other things, they may contribute in some way. But there is a particular central qualification that is required. So like that, all the other, if you have done Dana, if you have done Ijjaya, if you have done Vedair, Tapasa, all those are good. But all of them should ultimately contribute to bhakti. And by bhakti we will know Him. And then by that knowledge we will be able to move forward in our spiritual life. So Prabhupada explains in this purport that that actually this bhakti was given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very freely. It was appreciated by Rupa Goswami as the most munificent man of charity. This is Mahavadanyaya. Mahavadanyaya. And then Prabhupada talks about how one should worship as the deity. And then, so why is Prabhupada talking about? He's talking about this to establish the point that the other things can be utilized. So dana can be utilized in the path of bhakti if the dana is given for Krishna. But it is not just dana, it is bhakti that will give us and give Krishna. And then that dana becomes not dana, but it becomes bhakti. And then Prabhupada talks about how. Now it's interesting, for the beginners of the Lord, the temple worship is essential. And Now for this, Prabhupada called this verse, famous verse from Shatashatra Upanishad, Yasya Deve Parabhakti Yatha Deve Tatha Guru Tasya Ite Kathita Yartha Prakashante Mahatmanaha. So, one who has Parabhakti in Devata and one who has Bhakti in Guru, then Kathita Yartha, then the meaning of this gets illuminated, Prakashante Mahatmanaha. Under those great souls, there is illumination that happens. And Prabhupada writes, the two indicates, Bhaktyato Ananya Shakya, that other processes will not work. And then Prabhupada again emphasizes toward the purpose that the personal form of Krishna, the two-handed and the four-handed, are completely different from the temporary universal form. So, the universal form is temporary. It is not eternal. And then Prabhupada makes the point that Krishna changes from the universal form to the four-handed form of Narayana and then to his own natural form of two hands. That means that there was Krishna originally. There was Krishna originally. From Krishna, the universal form came. From there, the four-handed form came. And now the two-handed form has come. So actually, people who mistake bigness to be the sign of true greatness, they cannot understand how Krishna's two-handed form is the greatest. Somebody has got a 100-channel TV, says, now give me a 2-channel TV. Now, somebody says, Sahasra Rupa, Sahasra Baho Bhava Vishwamurte. Sahasra Baho has got hundreds and thousands of arms. If somebody thinks the standard, the greater the number of arms, the greater is the form of God. You think 2 arms, there's nothing great about it. But no, the greatness of the form of God is not manifested necessarily by the number of arms that form has got. It is manifested by the intimacy of love that form reciprocates. And then all those forms are coming from Krishna. So Prabhupada quotes from the Prabhupada quotes several verses here. Let's look at some of those verses and see the context in which he is saying this. Now Prabhupada's point here is that all forms come from the form of Krishna. Kalam, in the duration of one breath period, thavalambya, taking shelter of that much time, depending on that much, jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanatha. Loma is hair. So loma vilaja is the pores on the body. So we have hair on the body and there are pores through which the sweat comes out. So loma vilaja jagadandanatha. All this happens from the form of Vishnu. Vishnu Mahan, this is Mahavishnu. But that Mahavishnu, what is Sahiyasya Kala Visheshu? He is just one part of this, one expansion of the Supreme Lord. And Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I offer my obeisances to that Lord. And Prabhupada quotes in the Gopal Thapani Upanishad also. Satchidananda Rupaya Krishna Krishnaya Klishtakarine Namo Vedanta Vedyaya Gurave Buddha Buddhi Sakshine. So he quotes Satchidananda Rupaya, very clear. And then you have form and it is Satchidananda. Krishna, Krishnaya Klishtakarine. So, Namo Vedanta Vedyaya. Understanding him means understanding the Vedas. Gurave Buddhi Sakshine. So, Gurave, you are the Supreme Lord, Buddhi Sakshine. Actually, the important point in this verse is, all the Sanskrit is straightforward over here. Prabhupada's emphasis is that you have a transcendental form. You have an eternal form. Krishna vai paramam daivatam. Gopal Thapani Upanishad, Prabhupada's quoting several verses. Eko vashi sarvaga krishna idya. Eko pisusan bahudhoya bhati. So all these verses Prabhupada is quoting to point out that Krishna's form is transcendental. It's not that there is some tattva beyond Krishna that we have to go to. No, Krishna is the highest tattva. And Prabhupada also quotes here elsewhere. There are some places where Prabhupada does not give any references because when he quotes from the previous acharyas, they have also not given references. Yatrava tirna tirnam Krishna khyam param brahmanarakriti. So, yatra tirnam, yatra avatirnam. Avatirna means avatar. Here this is descended and what is this name of this form descent? It's Krishna. Akhyam is Krishna. Param Brahma Narakriti. Param Brahma, who has come as Narakriti. In a Narakriti, in the form of a human being. And then, of course, Prabhupada quotes several verses from the Bhagavad Gita, which we already discussed. And then he concludes that the devotee is not attracted by the universal form, the devotee is attracted by the two-handed form of Krishna. So in this way, here Krishna has concluded that actually the two-handed form is the highest, and that can be known only by bhakti. So Prabhupada's purport emphasizes that there is no reality higher than the two-handed form. So tattvena praveshtum cha tattvena yatum drishtum cha tattvena praveshtum parancha yatum drishtum cha tattvena praveshtum cha parantapa. So this is referring to entering into the mystery of understanding. Now after this, Krishna summarized this chapter in one sense. And Prabhupada says that this verse is the sum and substance of the Gita. Mat karma krin mat paramo mat bhakta sangha varjitaha nirvaira sarva bhuteshu yaha samameti pandava. So mat karma krin, do my work. Mat paramo, may understand that I am the supreme, make me the supreme goal of light. Mag bhaktaha, become my devotee. Sangavarjitaha, give a bad association. Nirvairaha, do not be envious of sarvabhuteshu, of all living beings, do not be envious. Yaha samameti pandava, one who does this, such a person will come to me. So now again, and again and again, we see the significance over here. If somebody is considering that, okay, there is some tattva beyond Krishna that we have to attain, then immediately the next verse Krishna is saying, Mameti, you will come to me. Now, so in this verse, we will see how many times is the word mam coming? At least four times. Mat karmakrun, mat paramo, mat bhaktaha. So three times. And then it is not that all these three is referring to some sadhana and sadhya is something different. No, it's referring to sadhana as well as to sadhya. So mat karma krin mat paramo mat bhakta sanga varjitaha. So all this is referring to Krishna only ultimately, but after that, after it refers to Krishna, then after that you'll come to me. Mat karma krin, work for me, engage in my work. So mat karma krin, now this is, we'll see different levels of this working for Krishna. You know, earlier Krishna has said in 9.27, yat karoshi dashnasi yat juhosi dadasi yat yatapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushvamadarpanam. Kurushvamadarpanam is whatever work you are doing, you offer the fruits of that work to me. That is one level of working, and that is good. That is also, Krishna says that by this mokshase subhashubha phale reva mokshase karma bandhane sanyasa yoga yuktatma vimukto mamu paishyasi. Krishna says by this also you will come back to me. But that is not the primary, that is not the highest level. We discussed that, how Chakravarti Pad gives analysis of various levels, and he considers that is not a very elevated platform of practicing devotional service. But here Krishna is not saying kurushvamadarpanam, he is not saying that whatever work you are doing, you offer it to me. He says, he is saying, do my work. Mat karma kran means we do service for Krishna. So for example, we do deity worship, we help in book distribution, we help in the missionary activities of Krishna consciousness, and we in this way do Krishna's work. Mat karma krin mat paramo. What is mat paramo? Mat paramo means that we makes me the supreme goal of life. Mat paramo, you know, it's important. Paramo, all of us, when we live in the material world, we may have some intermediate goods which are also important. When Parikshit Maharaj was ruling the world, at that time, ruling the world is not easy. And he has to make plans, he has to make policies, he has to fight conflicts, he has to deal with politics. All these things do occur when a person is in an administrative position. And it's demanding, and he was doing it all. And then he also had to take up the responsibility. If he wanted to be the king, he has to take up the responsibility, and he was taking up the responsibility. In all these ways, he was matkarma. He was doing the work, but then when the conflict came, you know, okay, now I'm going to die in 7 days, and immediately he left. He left, and what did he do? He left and he turned towards the exclusive focus on the Supreme Lord by renouncing the world and hearing Bhagavatam for 7 days. So by this, what is he demonstrating? Essentially, what he demonstrates is that we may have temporary goals, transitional goals, and those goals may also be contributing to our devotional life. So for a Kshatriya king, maintaining the kingdom is a responsibility which is ordained through God, and it is his duty to the people, and more importantly, the duty to God. I mean, Varnashram, everybody has to do their duty properly. So, but still, we may set up some temporary goals in our spiritual life, but then Krishna should be our eternal goal. And whether Krishna is really our eternal goal, that will be tested when our temporary goal and the eternal goal conflict with each other. That means, normally we want our temporary goals to contribute to our eternal goals. Yes, now I want to become a good speaker so that I can share Krishna consciousness with others. I want to become a good mother so that I can help my children to grow in Krishna consciousness. You know, I want to become a competent businessman so that I can have enough resources by which I can serve Krishna. So whatever it is, we can set up transitional intermediate goals for ourselves. And we will, naturally, if we set up intermediate goals, we'll strive to achieve those goals. But then, those intermediate goals should contribute to the ultimate goal. And sometimes the intermediate may conflict with the ultimate. And at that time, we have to make a wise decision, a courageous decision, that we'll be ready to sacrifice the intermediate for the ultimate. Sacrifice the intermediate doesn't necessarily mean that all of us will have to renounce, like Parikshit Maharaj had to renounce. But we may have to relegate something to the background and bring something to the foreground. And that's how we'll be able to move forward. So, in this way, Mat Paramo, we make Krishna the ultimate goal of our life. Prabhupada explains in Mat Karmakran, his purport is very graphic and specific. He talks about a builder can build a temple for Krishna, a person can grow flowers for Krishna, a person can clean the temple of Krishna. In this way, many activities we can do in Krishna's service. But the goal is Mat Paramo. Ultimately, our goal is Krishna. Mat Karmakran, Mat Paramo. Mad Bhakta Sangha Varjitaha. The central part is Mad Bhaktaha. Become my devotee. Become my devotee, and by that, Sangha Varjitaha. Stay away from bad association. Now, we may say bad association as devotees. What does it mean? Now, Prabhupada translated this over here in an interesting way. Sangha can mean association. It can association of what? Sangha. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. So sangha can mean association, sangha can also mean contamination at internal level. Now ultimately what happens is our external sangha creates internal sangha. The word sangha, asango him purushaha. So purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti janunan karanam guna sangosya sadasadyoni janmasu. So word sangha can mean attachment, the word sangha can mean association also. We see this that dhyayato vishayan pumsa sangaste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kamaha. When we contemplate the sense objects, we develop attachment to them. And from attachment, desire, passion, lust develop. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. Now actually this sangha, it can refer to internal attachment or it can refer to outer association also. Because the two are connected. If I'll associate with drunkards, all that will happen is that I'll become a drunkard by that over a period of time. So that's external sangha leads to internal sangha. External association leads to internal attachment. And the internal contaminations, like the external contaminating association, the internal contaminations are of two types. There is fruity activities and there is impersonal speculative tendency. And both distract us away from Krishna. So, Mat Karmakrin, Mat Paramo, Mat Bhakta Sangha Varjitaha, Mat Bhakta Sangha Varjitaha. Become my devotee. Give up the tendencies to do things other than devotional service. And then it's interesting. Nirvairah Sarvabhuteshu. Arjuna has just now been told, this is a dramatic contrast which will jolt our conceptions. Just now Arjuna has been shown the Virat Rupa, and the Virat Rupa very graphically Leliyase Grasamana Samantal. That Virat Rupa is devouring Dronam cha Bhishmam cha Jayadratham cha. and not only is devouring all of them, but even the blood is coming out and the Viratrupa is licking it. And then it's shown, and Krishna has also told Arjuna, all your enemies are killed. Chahima Vyadhishta, you're going to be victorious. Mayai Vaite Nihata Purvameva. They've all been killed. So Krishna has been told they have been killed. Krishna has been shown how they are dying, and Arjuna has been told that they will be killed. Arjuna has been shown how they are going to die, and Arjuna has been told, now you kill. Jahima Yuddha Sucheta Sirane Sapatna, conquer over your enemy. Anyways, Jitva Shatrun Bhungshu Rajasmutar. So conquer your enemies. But now in the same chapter the Gita is telling here, Nirvairaha, don't be envious towards, not just towards people in general, Sarva Bhuteshu, all living beings. Now all living beings will include the Kauravas also. Now the Kauravas are being killed, that's what the Kala Rupa has shown. And Arjuna has been also exhorted, fight and kill, then how can he be Nirvairaha? That is the mystery of the Bhagavad Gita. It's a mystery of purified consciousness. So Arjuna has now got nothing personal against the Kauravas. His point is that actually they are against Dharma and he is the servant of the Lord. So does he have anything personal? And we have to understand what we mean by personal. It's not a devotee has any self-serving agenda. A devotee is a person and a devotee has personal emotions. But the devotee does not have any self-serving agenda, and because of that, when the devotee serves faithfully. And it has no animosity towards anyone. We see that, we discussed this in the Ramayana also, that after Lord Ram kills Ravana, at that time, Ravana tells, practically, Ravana is the last among the Raksha generals to die. All his other generals are killed before him. So, the whole Rakshasa army is reduced to corpses. Remaining Rakshasa just flee away in fear without looking to come back. And there's no one left to do, no one from his family at least left to do his antisamskar, his last rites. And then Lord Ram tells Vibhishan to do it. And Vibhishan says, no, he's such a wretched person. He did so many sinful activities. I cannot do his last rites. So at that time, the Lord tells him, no, don't think like this. Actually, the soul is always pure. When soul comes in contact with the body, it acts in wrong ways because of the conditionings that are associated with the body. But now that the person has been killed, we should know that the soul does not deserve our hatred or our anger. That soul is pure, is part of God, and you should offer your respects for that departed soul by doing the last rites and send the soul to an auspicious destination. So Nirvairaha. So sometimes the Lord may be fighting also. The Lord exemplifies already, he fought and he even killed Ravana, but he had no animosity towards Ravana. Similarly, a devotee may have to fight at certain occasions for the sake of the Lord. That means we may have certain people who we have to cross swords. Prabhupada would say, Prabhupada uses the word rascals, and sometimes devotees don't understand what is the mood in which the rascals is used. Prabhupada is not using the word rascal in an angry or a hateful way. He doesn't hate anyone. How does Prabhupada use it? There's a lecture of Prabhupada where he says, Krishna, all these rascals are suffering in forgetfulness of you. So please give me the intelligence by which I can make these rascals understand and help them to come back to you and be happy. So if easily I would use the word rascals, do we really think of the well-being, good wishes of the rascals? Sometimes we may hear the word rascals used by some people who are loafers on the streets and they don't care for anyone except themselves. That's their number one care. But Prabhupada is saying, using the word rascals, but he's saying, oh, Krishna, help me to get them back to you. So it's using a sense of compassion, and like a parent or a grandparent telling a child, don't be mischievous. So Prabhupada would often say that, I can use these words, okay, but if you use it, people will not understand it, people will not take it properly. The Prabhupada had the advantage of age, Prabhupada had the advantage of compassion, genuine compassion. So Nirvairaha Sarva Bhuteshu, we actually should be the well-wishers of all living beings. And when we are like that, then Yasamameti, we'll be able to return back. So this verse is like a practical application. And the practical application centers on actually practicing of bhakti only. So the 53rd verse said that by other paths one cannot come to know. The 4th verse said that by bhakti one can know. And 55th verse is that how can one come to that level of bhakti? 54 says that by ananya bhakti we can know him. But how do we come to the level of ananya bhakti? One level below that. By doing all these activities, gradually we'll come to the level of ananya bhakti and we'll know about Krishna and we'll return back to Krishna. So in this way, Krishna concludes this chapter with the glory of devotion. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna.